But this morning, Pastor Dave, of course, never leaves us empty-handed. We have a special blessing as Pastor John Snodderly is going to be bringing us the word this morning. He is really a blessing. He's actually been, his mother was a part of our church years ago. He's been connected to us for many years. So let's welcome once again Pastor John.
No? Yes? Yes? No? Well, it's good to be with you. Can we stand and we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get into the word this morning. Father, it's always good to gather and, Lord, to worship you and to seek after you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And Lord, what a blessing. Lord, to begin this new year, Lord, in your house, worshiping you, seeking after you, knowing that as we face this new year, Lord, there will be opportunities, Lord, for blessings, Lord. There will be difficulties, there will be struggles. There will be times, Lord, where we need you to guide us and to lead us and to direct us. And so, Lord, we begin this morning, Lord, as we're coming into this new year with a heart of anticipation, Lord, expecting you to do great things, Lord, as we submit to you and yield to you in every aspect of our lives. And so we ask your blessing upon the word today in Jesus' holy and wonderful and precious name. And all of God's people said, Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, if you'll turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, and we'll be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. And, you know, it's always exciting when you begin a new year. And I don't know about you, but I always make New Year's resolutions. And I've lived long enough now. I'm coming up on my 67th birthday. And so I've lived long enough to know that when it comes to New Year's resolutions, now I make ones that I know I can keep. Always before, you know, I'd have these lists of things that I was going to do, but we know that as we come into this new year in 2016, there are a number of things that it will be bringing to each one of us. So for some, it may be new beginnings, maybe a fresh start. Reaffirmations of love and promises for really a brighter future and all to come as we look at this new year. There's a heartfelt and yes, even a purposeful promises that we make to the Lord and even to ourselves. We make those annual resolutions to get into shape. And you can tell I didn't do good last year. Lose weight, improve career paths, deepen our relationship with the Lord. And that's an admirable goal for all of us, is to deepen our relationship with the Lord. Then there are those promises we make to others, whether verbally or, you know, in our mind or in our heart. And we want to care more, express more love, reverse maybe bad feelings in old relationships, and even seeking maybe to heal relationships and for those to be more loving. We try our very best to put these desires into words. And sometimes it's hard to maybe to express all that we desire from the Lord, all that we want to see the Lord do in this new year. But I think Jeremiah said it well when he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And that's God's desire for us as we come into 2016, as we enter into this new year. What we can be assured of is that our future in Christ is always bright. And the reason it's bright and it's something that we look forward to is because of the promises that He's given to us as we seek Him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our might, everything that is within us. I like what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:3. He says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so God's blessings are something that I believe that He wants to pour out on us. There are many who will pursue success in the new year. And that's a word that oftentimes in the church we don't want to talk a lot about, but we're going to focus on that this morning. And the title of the message is Seven Secrets to Spiritual Success. And this is not a self-help type message, but it's found in this interesting story that we see with Jesus and His disciples there on the Sea of Galilee. And they're just now beginning to understand and comprehend what it is that Jesus has in store for them and calling them into ministry. So let's look at the text this morning, beginning in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, that He stood by the sea," or the lake of Gennesaret, "and He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and He asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to Him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net.' When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am sinful, O Lord, a sinful man.' And for he and all who were with him were astonished of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed Him." There are many who will pursue success in this new year. If you have any doubt about that, you look at the business section, the self-help section in the local bookstore, and you'll find all kinds of books on being successful. You can also examine your mail for those ads for seminars for a more successful life. Of all the people in the world, Christians should want to succeed in their relationship with the Lord. And what makes us different is our definition of success and the strategies that we use to go after success in this life. And so I think we can take a lesson from this story here from Luke, as he is there on the Sea of Galilee and he sees these disciples who've been fishing all night and they haven't really caught anything. And his desire is to teach them some significant things about being spiritually successful. Number one is this: when it comes to being spiritually successful, we need to accept the limitations of human efforts and our plans. I'm limited to what I can accomplish, what I can do. Now, I may be talented, I may be gifted in many, many different ways. I may be highly educated, I may be able to be successful in various aspects of life and in business, but to be spiritually successful, I have to accept the limitations of my human efforts and even my plans. The Lord used Peter's boat as a pulpit. We saw there that he sets out, he pushes off a little bit from the shore, and there he's going to teach the multitude. And this was something that would become familiar with Jesus, his teaching ministry, and ministering to the multitudes, even when his disciples would be tired and weary and they were wanting to quit and not go any further. Jesus would encourage them that, you know what, we need to minister to those that God is presenting before us. And so we see that the boat becomes the pulpit. It becomes the preaching platform. If we yield our property and our possessions to Jesus, it's wonderful how He can use them not only to reward us, but to minister to others. And so here are the fishermen, here's this boat. They're using that every day. It's their livelihood. And yet they're willing at that moment to say, yes, Jesus, you take it and you use it for your purpose. Peter, Andrew, James, John, did all of them know that in order to be successful, they were going to have to empty themselves out. You know, Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I like that. I mean, I have plans. I'm even making plans for the new year. But the important thing is that I have to allow the Lord to direct my steps. This would become important at this particular time in the disciples' life, just as it's important for us as we enter into this new year. You know, we may have plans, making plans. You may have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. But it's imperative that we're allowing the Lord to direct our steps. While God gave us brains to think with, sometimes we don't have enough cleverness on our own to do the job that He wants us to do. I've seen this over and over in my own life where I have the best laid plan and I think I really figured things out, but then things will come up. There's obstacles in life, amen? You know, things that we come up against we weren't expecting. And it's at that point in time where I have to rely on the Word of God. I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom and direction. Now, Paul tells the Philippians in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that this morning? I do. But the key is the strengthening. Now, I can do a lot of things, but I need the strength that comes from the Lord. There's a second thing that we learn from this story, and it's down in verse 4. It says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Launch out into the deep. Well, the second thing that we need to learn when it comes to being spiritually successful is we need to trust the word of Jesus, even if it doesn't make sense. Have you ever experienced that? You felt like the Lord was prompting you to do something and maybe to step out in faith and you're just going, man, this doesn't make sense to me. It's not registering up here. But in here, you begin to have a comfort. You begin to have a peace as to what the Lord is asking you to do. He told Peter exactly where to find plenty of fish. After Peter and the others had toiled all night without success, they're tired, they're weary, they come to shore, they've got nothing to show for it. But the omniscient Lord knows where the fish are. God knows where the fish are running. I remember my very first fishing experience. Do you remember the first time you went fishing? I was just a young kid and was living here, not too far from here in La Habra, and we had a neighbor, and he was going to take my brother and I and his two boys fishing, and he had a boat in the backyard, and he said, we're going to go to Pudding Stone. Any of you know where that's at? So we go up to Pudding Stone, and it was one of those days you'd think it'd be a great day to go fishing, and so we get this boat, and you know, I didn't know anything about boats. I didn't know what was water worthy or not, so we launch the boat, and we set out, and the first thing that happens, it starts raining. Well, you're not going to catch much fish when it's raining. I don't know all the dynamics about that, but usually they're not biting. And so we're out there, and Ronnie's dad said, well, we need to go a little bit further. We're going to kind of go over in this area. And so we, you know, had a little motor on there, and we're going across the lake. And we're out in the middle of the lake, and all of a sudden, one of his boys said, you know, my feet are wet. And we look down, and there's water in the bottom of the boat. That's not a good sign when you're out in the middle of the lake. And so, you know, his dad looked at us and he said, okay, boys, he said, you know, we need to see if you can find something and we'll kind of bail the water out. And he starts to turn. He says, I think we need to go back to shore. Well, we didn't actually make it completely to the shore before the boat sank. That was my first fishing experience. And I haven't done much fishing since then. Because now I have a great fear of water, of drowning. But what does the Lord tell Peter? He says, not just to launch out, but he says, launch out into the deep. In other words, go to a place that is going to take you further than you've ever been before. Be willing to trust me that I can lead you and bring you to a place that even if it's unfamiliar to you, it's a place where I can bring about successfulness in your endeavor. The secret of success in Christian work and in walking with God is to be guided by Him. It's making sure that He's leading in our lives. You know, Paul, he wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and he's pleading with them, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So I'm pleading with you in the name of the Father that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're not dead, you're alive in Christ, but present your bodies to me as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your, and I like this, he says, your reasonable service or your responsible service. You're responsible to God, and do not be conformed to this world. And that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? I mean, we get a lot of pressure from the world. The world always seems to press in hard. But he says, be transformed by, first of all, the renewing of your mind. Let your thought process begin to be transformed by living as a sacrifice before God, holy and acceptable to Him. And then he says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to be in the perfect will of God, raise your hand this morning. You know, I do. I want to be in His perfect will. Wherever that may lead, whatever that may require of me, whatever cost that may exact from me, I want to be in His perfect will. How do you think those fishermen felt? I mean, they've been fishing all night, and now they're taking advice from a carpenter. Jesus wasn't a fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter. Didn't they know how to fish? Wasn't that really their business, their livelihood? Still, there was something in Jesus that caused them to trust Him and to realize that He knew exactly what He was talking about. He didn't ask them to do something immoral, just something that did not seem to make sense to them. And I can attest to the fact that there have been times in my life when I knew the Lord was speaking, I knew the Lord was leading, but I was a little bit reluctant to launch out into the deep. Maybe it was hearkening back to that first fishing experience, I don't know. But we have to be willing to go wherever God leads. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. But in that third verse especially, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. What does that look like? What does that look like for us this morning, trusting in the Lord? Well, it is reliance upon God. I mean, have you trusted God with everything? Do you trust Him with your finances? Do you trust Him with your marriage? Do you trust Him with your kids? Do you trust Him with your job? Do you trust Him with your education, if you're in school? Whatever the circumstance is it really, truly a life of trust? Because He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He'll bring it to pass. I love that. Trusting God. Relying upon the Lord. Committing our way to the Lord. Delighting in the Lord. And He says, and He shall bring your righteousness as the light. And your justice as the noonday. And then rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. And by the way, the psalmist says, don't fret because of him who may be around you is prospering and you're not. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. You know, God is in control. Do you believe that this morning? I do. I mean, the world is crazy right now. I mean, it is just crazy out there. And yet, I look around and I realize that as crazy as things are, this is our time. This is the season for God's church. God's called us to be an effective light and witness to a lost world that is in darkness. There's a third thing about spiritual success. We need to be willing to take risks. We need to be willing to take risks. My wife, whom I've been married to now for 48 years, is not a risk taker. I am. It's just kind of my nature. I like to just kind of do new things, and I'm adventurous, and you know, I've shown that through my years of ministry. I've been all over the world, and I've been places where a lot of people didn't want to go, and I just felt like God was leading me there, and I've seen the faithfulness of God. But my wife is not a risk taker, and so there are times when she's kind of, you know, she's pulling me back, and I felt like, man, she's holding me back. But in actuality, that was the balance that was needed in my life, because I need to be willing to take risks, but I need to take those risks in the Lord. Not just me thinking, oh, this is a great idea. Though an experienced fisherman himself, Peter accepted advice from, of all people, a carpenter. And what was the end result? Well, because of the risk, the nets were filled. He filled up the nets. And if you read the story there, it says that he told him to launch out into the deep and let down your nets. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. I've been on the Sea of Galilee a number of times. I've seen local fishermen that still to this day launch out on their boats, and they use these large nets. And I've seen them bring in their catch. And these nets are huge. Well, this particular situation, the net is so full, it's almost to breaking. When Jesus asked them to go out, he said, I want you to go into deeper water. Every great enterprise spiritually takes an element of risk. And let me tell you why. Because we're stepping out in the Lord. We're stepping out in faith. We're trusting and believing that when we take that step, that God's going to be there. He is going to be the lifter of my head. He's going to be the one who upholds me with His strong arms and is there to undergird me regardless of whatever I'm dealing with. You know, there's a number of these stories in the Gospels where Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee with His disciples. There's another story where they decide to cross over and it's night and the disciples are down in the bottom of the boat and they're sleeping and the storm comes. This huge storm. And they're up and they're all fearful and they're scared and they're thinking that they're going to drown. And what does Jesus do? He's still sleeping. Jesus knew that you had to have at least 7 or 8 hours of sleep to be effective. So Jesus said, and they awaken him and they're fearful and they're scared. I mean, they're thinking that they're going, and I'll use the word that's used in the old King James, surely we are going to perish. And what does Jesus do? He tells them to be calm. He stands, he puts his hand out and he tells the storm to be still. Then he looks at them and says, where's your faith? Don't you realize who is in the boat with you? Let me ask you something this morning. Jesus in the boat with you? As a young boy, that first fishing experience, I was praying that he was in the boat with us. Evidently, he was not, because the boat sank. But thank goodness we could all swim and we were close enough to shore. There's a fourth element to being spiritually successful. Persevere even through disappointment and fatigue. Are you coming into the new year already fatigued, maybe a little tired? Sometimes I find myself, and I think it just comes with getting older, I just don't have the stamina like I used to have. Especially when I'm with my grandkids. They're both in high school. My grandson is going to graduate this year. My granddaughter, she's a freshman. And they wanted to go into the city, into San Francisco. And by the way, we do not call it Frisco. It is the city or San Francisco. All right. Just, are you getting that in your notes this morning? Okay. I mean, I've lived in the Bay Area now for almost 20 years, and that's a big deal. If you're in the Bay Area, they refer to it as the city. But my grandkids wanted to go into the city, and so they're excited, and I'm already tired thinking about what it's going to be like, because we take the BART into the city, and it's all walking. It's not like here where you drive from place to place, and it's walking, and you know, we got there and we got off the BART and they're excited. And my granddaughter, she's like wanting to run from place to place. And so I got both of them, I set them down on a bench and I said, before we do anything, before we go any further, I said, here are the rules for our trip to the city. We walk slowly at a consistent pace. We will get where we're going to go. No running. Absolutely no running. And I said, you know, we stick together and make sure everybody's got their cell phones on and you know, we stay close to one another. And even with that, by the time we got to the end of the day, because I kept saying, are you guys ready to go? Oh, no, Papa, no. We want to go over here and we want to do this. And so I got home and it took me 4 days to recover. But sometimes there's fatigue that sets in, but there's also disappointment, especially with ministry. I'll just be frank with you. I've been doing this just a few months shy of 40 years. And boy, there can be some real disappointments. Most of my early years in ministry, I was a church planter. I've had the privilege of starting 6 Calvary chapels. And it's exciting, but boy, you talk about disappointments. And I remember going down to Costa Mesa and meeting with Pastor Chuck. I was discouraged. I was going to quit. I was going to quit the ministry. And I went into Pastor Chuck's office, and there he was sitting behind his desk with his Hawaiian shirt. And he looked at me, and so I'm pouring out my heart. I'm sharing my story and all of the things that I was disappointed with, and I was fatigued and nothing's happening. And Pastor Chuck looked at me and he said, give it 6 more months. Just 6 more months. And I said, yeah, I can do that. And so I'm waiting for, you know, more inspiration. He got up from behind the desk, reached over, shook my hand, said, I'm glad you could come and see me today. We'll be praying for you. And that's it? 6 more months? Do you know what? I went back to the work that God had called me to, and I did. I stuck it out for 6 months, and now it's been almost 40 years. I mean, there are times when we do get disappointed. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just a part of your heart, not just when you're emotionally feeling like it, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and do what? And lean not on your own understanding. Now that word in the Hebrew, that's a great word. In other words, don't try to prop yourself up with your intellect. It's not self-motivation. It's spiritual empowerment. It's being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in all your ways, whatever you're doing, whatever God's called you to, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will do what? He will direct your path. He will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't get puffed up and prideful. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What a powerful proverb. What great wisdom. Trust in the Lord. How? With all your heart. Don't lean on what? Your own understanding. Don't rely on your mind. In what ways do you acknowledge Him? In all your ways. So everything that I'm doing, every step that I take in life, am I acknowledging God? How do we do that? By praying and asking God, is this your will? Is this what you have for me? Is this what you want me to do? Is this the direction that you have for my life? Is this where you want to take me? Is this the direction that I need to be going in? You know, the fishermen were tired, but here's the net and it's full and they're pulling and it's almost breaking. But they were willing to do their part. There's another story in Luke's gospel where Jesus is talking to disciples and he says, you know what? He says, having put your hand to the plow, he says, don't turn back. Don't look back. Don't look to the past. Now, there's a lot of great things that happened in 2015 in my life and with ministry, but there were some tragedies. In the span of 3 months, four people that were probably some of the closest people to me all died within about a three-month period of time. My mother-in-law was one of those. My very, very best friend that I had when I was in Bible college, if it wouldn't have been for Mark, I would have never passed my Greek and Hebrew class. He was a language wizard, and he got me through those classes, and he lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and we'd stayed in touch all of these years, and he went home to be with the Lord. Two of my uncles that I was close to when I was growing up, both of them lived back in the Midwest, and they had farms, and I would go back there in the summer, a young boy from Southern California, and got to experience the farm and you know, chasing the pigs around and chopping heads off of chickens. Woohoo, that was exciting. Some of you are thinking I'm a murderer, aren't you? But anyway, you know, riding horses, you know, and all of that. But both of those uncles went home to be with the Lord. So within the span of 3 months, four people that were close to me, that I love very much, went off into eternity. But you know what? You can't let discouragement pull you back from the work and the ministry that God calls us to. These guys were discouraged, but Jesus says, hey, launch out into the deep. You know, just put that net out there. Go out there in the deep water. And they were willing to try again. You had any setbacks in 2015? You know, you look back and just go, whew, I'm glad that year is over. Hopefully things are going to be better. But here's the thing. Even if you have a setback, try again. And then try again. And try again. It's this idea of I'm pressing on to the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Paul understood that, I think, better than anyone else. There were times of setback, discouragement, imprisonment, and yet what did he do? Hey, I'm just going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep pushing because I know there's a crown that's laid up for me. Point number five in having spiritual success, remember the importance of teamwork. Go back over to verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught the great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. My grandmother used to say, many hands make light work. You ever heard that expression? If you haven't, it's yours now. You can use it, no cost. But many hands make light work. And you know, in my mom's family, there were 12 kids. And so you got all those grandkids together, but Grandma Emma, she knew how to put people to work. She understood the importance of teamwork. And she'd get all the grandkids and she would assign responsibilities, and it was like a well-oiled machine. And how much could get accomplished? It was while Peter was engaged in his ordinary life employment that Christ called him to be fisher of men. Remember, he told him that when he called him. He says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. while you're waiting for guidance, do whatever your hand finds to do. Maybe the Lord's not giving you specific direction with serving Him or ministry or giftedness, but do something for the Lord. Amen? Do something. I mean, in our fellowship, we tell people, and I do this regularly, hey, if you don't know what your gifts are or what God is calling you to, you come and talk to me and we'll find something for you to do. We want you to be a part of the body. We want you to serve. We want you to be engaged. Even if it's handing out bulletins on Sunday morning, or whether it's cleaning the church, or out in the parking lot, whatever it may be. You know, it's serving the Lord. And there is a degree of fulfillment when you realize that you're part of this spiritual team. Maybe in your employment, you work with a group. You're working with a team, and you know the importance and the significance of getting tasks done. How much more important is it to have that mindset when it comes to the spiritual work of the Lord? There's a great story about teamwork in Mark chapter 2, in verses 1 through 12. We won't have time to read that this morning, but that's your homework. I'll give you some homework for this. Read that story, and it's about the paralytic. Jesus is in the house of Peter's mother-in-law there in Capernaum, and there's a great throng, it says. There's all these people. People couldn't even get in the house. They're hanging out the windows. And there's these four men, and they have a friend who is a paralytic. He's paralyzed. And they just know that if they can get him into the presence of Jesus, that he can be healed. And they come, and they're carrying him. They can't get in the house, so what do? They get up on the roof of the house. They tear a hole in the roof of the house. They lower him down. Jesus heals the man, and he remarks not so much about the man that was healed. He tells him, hey, go and it'll be at peace. You know, you've been healed. But he talks about the faith of those four friends. Teamwork. Teamwork. I mean, you need four people if you're going to lower somebody down through the roof of a house. You know, if somebody lets go of one corner of the rope, guess what? He's not a paralytic anymore. He's just dead. But it's faith. These guys knew, hey, we get him into the presence of Jesus and he can be healed. Point number six. To have spiritual success, remember, God can give us more than we ask or we even imagine. Do you believe that? I do. More than we could ever ask or ever imagine. Verse 7, it says, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. I would say that was more than you can imagine. Remember Peter and James? They're fishing all night. They haven't caught anything. And now they got two boats, and there's so many fish that it's beginning to sink. The calling of God is for us all to fish. But it's to catch men and women with the power of the gospel so that they, like us, can come out of darkness into the light, so they can be alive in Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we're reluctant. We live in such a politically correct world that, you know, we don't want to offend anyone. To be honest with you, I want to offend people with the gospel. And not to put them to shame or to put them down, but out of love and a burden for lost souls, that they would know Jesus Christ. And that they would experience the eternity that we're already experiencing in Christ. The moment we got saved, we entered into eternity. We came into the kingdom. We're a part of the family of God. We have the promise of the glory of God to come. Jeremiah understood this in Jeremiah 17 when he said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I know y'all been praying for rain. I brought it with me. I flew down here yesterday, and when I left the Bay Area, it was raining. It's coming. It's supposed to be here tomorrow. So if you want to reward me for that, I'll be happy to take that reward. But isn't it awesome when we remember and we can see that God can give us more than we ask for or imagine? Last point, number 7, and having spiritual success. Be humble in your successes. Be humble in your successes. Peter and James and John pulled their boats up to the beach, forsook all, followed Jesus on one of the best business days of their lives. That was the best catch they'd ever had that day. 2 boats sinking because of the fish. And how much hung on their decision that day to say, we're going to follow Jesus. Do not be afraid. Jesus says, for now, you're going to be catching men. You're going to be catching men. I love James' exhortation when he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you believe that? Oh, the devil, he goes after us, but if you resist him, he will flee from you. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Worship pastor, you know that worship song, don't you? Yeah. I remember years ago we used to sing that. You know, that we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Peter didn't take credit for the success of that fishing trip. The credit was given to the Lord. In fact, he humbled himself before God and he came to face to face with his own unworthiness. Remember what he said to the Lord? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And yet, it's at that moment in our own lives when we come to that place of humility and that place of brokenness where I believe God can really begin to do powerful and exciting things in our lives. Because now it's less and less of us and more of Him. Let's stand and pray. You know, remember after Jesus' resurrection, Peter was kind of in the throes of regret and he decided to go back to fishing. Peter no doubt felt that he had failed. But Jesus came to him again, and he did a similar miracle. He evidently never forgot the lesson. He went from that place to become a great fisher of men, Peter did. He became a spiritual success. And I think it's important for us to remember that we can too. I want to be successful in the Lord. Worldly success, that's not important to me. But God will lift me up. God will raise me up. God will use me. God will empower me. God will bring into your life and into my life those things that are necessary for us to be successful in Him. Because in so doing, what we do is we exalt, we glorify His name, and we lift up the kingdom of God. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I just want to, as we're closing in prayer, I just want to ask you a question this morning. Is it your desire this morning to go and to grow beyond where you're currently at? As you look at this new year, coming into the new year, is it your desire for God to do something new and fresh and powerful in your life? If that's your heart this morning, I want you to just raise your hand and say, Pastor, yes, I want that. I want more of what Jesus has for me. I want to I want to grow beyond where I'm at. And as you're holding up your hand, I'm just going to pray for you this morning. Father, you see these hands, but more importantly, God, you see the heart. You know each and every heart here today. Lord, you know where they're at. Lord, you know where you want them to be. You know where they're not. But Lord, you have a plan. And Lord, it's a plan to change and transform their lives, to bring that spiritual success into their lives that they're asking for right now. Lord, as they're lifting their hand, they're saying, yes, Lord, do more. Give me more. Make me more of a vessel of honor for you. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, God, would just fall upon each and every person in this room. But Lord, as we look at 2016, Lord, we'll look through the eyes of Jesus. We'll look at all things through the lens of your word. And Lord, what we hear will be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to us, guiding and leading and directing us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. This we pray. This we ask. This we believe. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord grow you in 2016. Spiritually, I'm going to add that, spiritually, that he would grow you in 2016. And once again, thank you for allowing me to share with you this morning. It's a blessing being with you.